for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, November the 27th, 1999, Thanksgiving weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee, is the teacher of the afternoon.
It said we might not have many up here today, that a lot of people go home, but this is a good tribe group. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for this day, for this is the day, Lord, that you've made. And we're just rejoicing in it. And we thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your goodness. Now, Father, as we gather together this afternoon, just ask, Father, that you, by your Spirit, will bring forth that which you would have me to share. And, Lord, that you give us ears to hear and eyes to see and heart to understand. We thank you, Father, for when we ask, we know that we receive because we ask it in the name of Jesus. And, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I take authority over every spirit in this place. I bind every demon that's in here, command them out in Jesus' name. I bind principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. I bind kingdoms and thrones and dominions in the heavenlies in the name of Jesus. I ask, Father, for angels to encamp around about us. I ask, Father, that you just cleanse this place and drive out every spirit that's here, not only here but downstairs in every part of this building in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we bind the strong man over this camp right now in the name of Jesus and cut his power off to any and every demon in the name of Jesus. I bind the strong man, each one of us, that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And, Father, I just thank you now for deliverance. And as we come to you, your word says, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And, Father, we stand upon your word and we thank you for it now in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And we praise you and give you glory and honor. We thank you for what you've already done and what you're doing and what you're going to do in our lives. Lord, our desire is to walk with you, to hear you. And your word says, they that have ears, let him hear what the Spirit's saying. And, Father, that's our heart's cry, that we may hear what this Holy Spirit is saying in this day. And we praise you and give you glory now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. You know, I was talking yesterday a little bit about binding the strong man, and as I was binding just now in the heavens, the Spirit of the Lord just reminded me that to share, I'm intending to share on witchcraft and the occult, but the Holy Spirit just reminded me of that I need to share on the binding. And if you will, open your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. You know, if you don't ever cast out a spirit, which you should be doing because that's what the ministry Jesus gave us, part of the ministry, but you can bind.
Yes.
And you need to do spiritual warfare by binding any and everything that the Lord reveals to you to bind. In Matthew's Gospel in chapter 16, you know, Tommy was teaching on the kingdom this morning, and I kept wanting, he's saying, telling us what the word says, and the word says the kingdom is not meat nor drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I was saying, it's the ruling reign of Jesus in us. It's the ruling reign of Jesus in us. It's letting Jesus rule and reign. And that's what the word says. And if we've got Jesus, we've got righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. But we need to say, let Jesus rule and reign in us. And let us get off of the throne and let him be Lord in our lives. And you know, I did a teaching not too long ago in our church. I do teach things other than deliverance on the kingdom. And I mean, I was stressing to our people, the rule and reign of Jesus, and that's the power and authority that he's given us. He's given us power and authority to walk as overcomers. And it does not come automatically as we take the authority he's given unto us. And in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 16, and I have shared this many times, but since we're putting this on tape, I want to put this on tape. beginning with verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And I say to you, who is Jesus Christ to you?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And you know, this verse 18, Jesus said to Peter that he was going to build his church upon the revelation knowledge, that rock of revelation knowledge that Peter had received of who Jesus Christ is. And the Lord woke me up. I'm going to tell it like the Lord taught me binding. He woke me up one night, and he told me, he said to me, "Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven." And I'm going to read verse 19 in a minute. And I said, "Yes, Lord, I know." In verse 19, he says here, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And it was about 4:30 in the morning. I said night, but it was about 4:30 in the morning. And I thought, well, you know, I told the Lord I knew, and I was going to go back to sleep. And then he said to me again, "Whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven." He said it to me the third time. And when he said it to me, I said, "Lord, what are you trying to tell me?" So I got up out of my bed, went into the den, and got my Bible. And I was looking the scripture up. And as I read verse 19, the Lord told me to back up to verse 13. And when I read verse 13, when he said to Peter, or said to the disciples, "Whom do men say that thou art, that I am? Well, whom do men say that I, the Son of God, am?" And that's what he was saying to me. He said to me, the binding works according to what I believe and who I believe Jesus Christ is. And he said to me, he said, your authority works only according to who I am to you." And when we believe he is who he says he is, then we have authority. And he said to me, "You bind according to your faith in me." And I went on to share with this that I had a phone call from a lady that morning that called me and said her body was twisted, and I had seen it done that way before in deliverance, and no human can do their body that way, but a spirit in her did. And she had her daughter call me on the phone, and she was holding the phone up to her mother's mouth and her ear, and she was saying to me, "Help me." The girl was saying, "Help me. I can't undo my body. I can't get out of this bed." And so I started binding. The Lord had prepared me to bind the spirits in her before she called me. And we had been binding spirits, but you know, binding, trying, I told you yesterday, it doesn't work. If you try it, you have to believe and do it. And as I began to bind her, I said, "I bind you, demon that's twisted her body and that's in control in the name of Jesus." I didn't know who he was. And I was binding him, and as I was binding him, she began to come loose. The devil bound her. Everything God gives us, the devil has a counterfeit for. And you see, as we bind and take our authority, if you don't take your authority, the devil will bind you.
Yes.
He'll bind your will. He'll bind your mind. He'll bind your emotions. He'll bind your ability to receive. He'll bind your ability to love or give love. I did a teaching not too long ago, and I had thought I might teach that this up here, that the enemy comes in and binds the strong man in us. He binds our will, our soulish area. He binds us. We talk about going, and in Matthew 12, it talks about binding the strong man and spoiling his house. When you think about this, if the devil or demonic forces can bind your will, your mind, and your emotion, he can spoil your house.
Uh-huh.
So we're binding the strong man in people, and we're going in and spoiling the devil's house. But he, everything God has given us, the devil has a counterfeit for it. I promise you, I don't care what it is. Tommy mentioned it this morning on the false prophet. What's the false prophet? He's a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. And he talks to people and says he's God. And unless you discern what he's saying and line it up with the Word of God, you can be deceived. And so we need to know that not only do we have authority to bind, we must use that authority, because if we don't and we sit passive and say, well, I'm okay, I'm born again and I'm blood-bought, I'm redeemed and sanctified and justified by the blood of Jesus, I've been cleansed by the blood, we are. But if we just sit back and never do warfare, then we can... We open doors for the enemy to attack and do what he wants to us. So, well, he can't do that to me. Yes, he can. He can. He doesn't do it all at one time, because if he did, you'd recognize him. But he comes in slowly and begins to work slowly. And he'll become so much a part of you that you don't even recognize it's him. How many spirits have you ever cast out of people that said, oh, I'm her? You ever cast one out of a... And I deal with women mostly. I've had them tell me, I'd say, who are you? And they'd say, I'm just a little old, whoever the girl was that I was dealing with, call her by name. And I, for a long time, I didn't recognize the fact that I was dealing with a demon. I thought it was her. And then the Lord began to show me, hey, that's one of the false personalities. And it was a little old her. It was false personalities in her. But they come in so subtly. And so we need to take our authority and bind a strong man in yourself. You know, we go to bind it. I have a lot of trouble with a man in my church that wants to bind everybody else. And I always say, bind yourself first. What you're trying to bind in somebody else is working in you. Bind yourself first and get yourself under control. Take authority of the spirits in you. And then you can see clearly to bind somebody else. But we can do this. We can bind ourselves. We can bind whatever is working right there and take authority over it. And if you never cast them out, you need to bind them and cast them out. And you can do that. You can cast them out of yourself. So many people want somebody else to do all the work for them, and you can't. Somebody can't do all the work for you. You've got to do the work for yourself. You will come to a place where you're going to have help when you get down to some of the big ones. And there's always someone there willing to pray with you. But the binding is so important. And we need to bind in the heavens. Most of the deliverance and things that we teach is working in ourselves or in where we are. But we need to go into the heavens and do warfare. We need to go up into the heavens and bind. You go, and this is the way I bind when I'm binding, just sitting and binding. I come in the authority that God's given me. And I'm seated in Christ Jesus. I learned this in the Baptist church years ago, that I'm seated in Christ Jesus in the third heaven, far above principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. I didn't know why I was seated there. They didn't tell me I was up there to do warfare, because they didn't believe in demons to start with. But the thing is, tell the devil who you are. Tell him that you're a born-again believer. If you have to do this, what you're doing is building your own faith. When you're quoting the scripture, you're building faith in you. So when you do go to binding, you believe that when you bind, that it's bound. Okay? Quote the scripture. Ephesians 2:6 says, we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So my authority comes from the right hand of the Father. Jesus Christ is seated at God's right hand, and I'm in him. The word says I am. And I take my authority from there, and I say, devil, you're under my feet, because I'm in him and you're under Jesus' feet. He puts you under his feet, and I bind you, and I bind your powers. I cut your powers off in the name of Jesus Christ, and I bind them over my household, over the city where I live, and over my church, and bind rulers of darkness, principalities, powers, wicked spirits in the heavenly places, that, and pull down strongholds. We need to pull down those strongholds and defeat the devil. And if we would get into spiritual warfare, and as I said, if you never cast out spirits, if you would just bind and then pull down the strongholds, we could defeat the enemy and take away his power. I tell you something, the devil's got power, for nowhere in this book does it tell us he lost his power. Jesus defeated him at the cross. He defeated him. He took away the defeat that has a where Adam had sold us out to him. Jesus bought it back and gave us the right to stand. But the judgment against the devil has not been carried out. He is not in hell. He is going there. And I hear people say, well, he's in hell. He can't hurt me. The Bible doesn't say that. The Word says that he will be cast into the lake of fire. He will be bound 1,000 years and then cast into the lake of fire. But the thing is, most people think he can't bother them, and he can, and he does. If you don't believe it, look around at your household and your family and all the things that the... I was just telling one of the girls, I got a prophecy this morning. Wonderful prophecy. You're fixing to go into battle. Prepare yourself. I thought, but Lord, a bitter battle. And it's going to be a tremendous battle. But God is preparing you. And if we're not prepared, if we don't know how to fight, the devil just walk all over us. You say, well, you're scaring me. I hope so. I told Dr. Noel down there, I was coming down to teach some men today, that I call it like it is, and he laughed. We were just kidding, all of us, to stand there. But the thing is, You need to have fear of the Lord and believe the Word and do what God's called you to do. The Word says the believer will cast out devils. Jesus just said, blessed art thou, talking to Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And he said, I've given you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What is the keys of the kingdom of heaven? It's binding and loosening. Now, you bind those spirits and you loose what the opposite of what you're binding. If you're binding fear, loose faith. If you're binding rebellion, loose obedience. And if you're binding witchcraft, loose the power of God in there to cleanse, to drive out. Ask the Holy Spirit to drive out all the familiar spirits and the unclean spirits that are there. And this is why God says in his words, what Jesus is saying, if we bind on earth, he'll bind in heaven. If we loose on earth, he'll loose in heaven. Where's heaven? Our heaven is here. This is the heaven where Jesus is ruling and reigning. He's in there, whether he's ruling or reigning in us or not. And so we come with that power and authority that he's given unto us and do the warfare that God's called us to fight. You know, most people don't believe that there's such a thing as witchcraft and the occult. That it's just, what they say, it's just a figment of your imagination or something. And that there's no Satanism. Let me tell you something. Anybody that turns the TV on can see the occult. And the thing that just blows me away when I watch TV, the world is showing us the power of the devil, and people are not seeing it. They're saying it's just, and this is what the devil wants. It's all fictitious, you know. It's all fiction. But there's truth in it. And these demonic toys and these demonic things that they've got is real. They're showing what the powers of darkness that we're fighting. And if God's people don't wake up, they're going to be mowed down. That's the only word I can think of. They'll be overcome. And God's wanting us to overcome. That's why we have deliverance minister teachings in this camp meeting, is to try to prepare God's people and teach them. And you say, well, I know all these things. Well, are you doing them? If you know them, if you'll do it, what happens is your authority, your belief and your faith and your authority grows, and you know that you know that you know that you have power and authority over the devil. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, he says, I give you authority over all the power of the devil. He didn't say some of it, he said all the power of the devil, and nothing by any means will harm you. He's given us that authority, but it's not mine to just take and sit down and just said, well, I got it. Because you really don't have it. You know about it, and if you're not walking in it, you don't have it. So God is wanting us to do that, and binding and loosening is one of the weapons that we have. That's a mighty weapon that we can use to tear down the forces of darkness. My foot hurts. I'm coming out of my shoes. Praise the Lord. Okay, I want to do a little bit. I'm going to go over a lot of things that you girls that are here all the time know, but we're going to go over some of this. I want to get on some of the occults. I want to get on some of the things that we do that God calls an abomination. And I'm trying to put a lot of things in just a little short time this afternoon, so I don't know how much of it I'll get done. But I will try anyways. And if you will, turn over to Exodus 22 and let's look at what God says about a witch. You know, the Word tells us God hates witchcraft and the occult. He calls it an abomination because it's seeking knowledge. Have you ever been to a fortune teller? Have you ever had tarot cards read? You know, we're seeing a lot of this come on TV now. Have you ever read your horoscope? Have you ever, called a psychic? All of this is an abomination to God. And we, if you had your palm read, you know, you went to a carnival and they had this house there or whatever they had, and this woman read your palm or whatever, and had the crystal ball or whatever it is. And you said, well, I just went there because it was fun. You still need to be delivered from it. You need to confess it to the Lord. Because, you see, you don't know if that woman or man or whoever was in there was a real witch or not. And you don't know if you got cursed, not only you, but you got your children cursed, your grandchildren cursed, and your great-grandchildren cursed, the fourth generation. Because God says it's an abomination, and it brings a curse on them. And that's, I think that we're seeing a lot of those curses activated now in our grandchildren and children that are come in from the sins of the fathers. So, in Exodus 22 and verse 18, it says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. You know, what is a witch? We think of one with a pointed hat and a long crooked nose. Well, I was informed and met some of them. Verse 18 in Exodus 22. I was informed that I've met several witches, real ones. I mean, they were practicing witches. And I was informed that they can disguise themselves. You can see one when in how they look like they came into my church. Three of them did. And next time I saw one of them, I didn't recognize them. They can blend. They blend in. They come in. They sit. You know, I have a sign over my door that all who enter here. And this is in my house, are under the cover of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I haven't had that on my church door, but I'm fixing to put it on my church door. On the front and the back, every door of the church, because we've had those three witches come into our church and try to disrupt the services and to do their thing. And I have had... I got in a real tough argument with Dr. Noel one time about returning curses. You know, that as Jesus said to bless those that curse you. But I firmly, my husband did some research on that. He shared with me that he did not believe that what he found out as he was doing research on that scripture was that it God wasn't talking about someone that would in the occult and that would sit down and send curses upon you. But he was talking about people who curse you with their mouth, and they don't really know they're doing it. And maybe it's not intentional, but just talking about, you know, when you talk about somebody, you're cursing them. And God says, when they do that, you bless them. But I told Dr. Noel, I said, well, you come on and stay at my house a little while, and you'll be wanting to send those curses back. Because we fight them quite often. And but I said, I'm going to tell you what scripture says, and I knew he knew it. We were in Texas at the time, and we were just sitting, and Jim and him, a bunch of us were sitting there talking, and so he was laughing at me, but I said, you do what you want to, and I'll do what I'm Lord lets me do. But,
He sent some back this morning.
Good. Praise the Lord. Well, we have the Word of God, what God says. God hates this, and it's a death. He pronounced death upon the witches. And over in 1 Samuel, we see Let me read this other, and I'll come back to that one. 1 Samuel, chapter 28, when Saul went to the witch of Endor. 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse, I'm looking for the book, the chapter. I want to read a couple of scriptures here. I want to start with verse 3. And this is one of the reasons that God really hates this witchcraft and all, because man is seeking knowledge from the wrong source. In verse 3 it says, "Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land." I might as well say this. I believe it. And I think it. I have a lot of trouble with people in talking about familiar spirits. Everywhere I find familiar spirits in the Bible, they're used as the occult. I don't find them any other way. And I hear people talking about them being family spirits, and they could be a witch spirit in the coming down. But every time they're mentioned here in the scriptures, they are used, shown as the occult. And a familiar spirit is a knowing one. And I met a few of them. they send them in. The witches will loose them and send them in to spy on you. Let me tell you what they'll use. If you've got an animal in your house, they'll send a familiar spirit into your animal. And that thing will sit there and spy on you. And then when they call it back, it goes back to them and tells them what's going, how they can attack you. I've taught against, I guess, against animals simply because of this. It's not that I don't like animals, but I know they're used of the devil. And I think animals can help it. But people bring them in their houses and... See, I learned this through these witches. They had a ferret. It's the ugliest animal I ever saw in my life. And they were warring with another witch. And she was sending familiar spirits into the ferret to spy on them. And the other woman had a big dog, and they were warring. And I found this out by getting just little snatches of knowledge here and there when I heard them talk. See, they were with us several days before we really knew who they were. Well, we knew who two of them were, but didn't know the other one. But anyways, I have a lot of problems with all this. But familiar spirits are knowing ones, and they work in necromancy. If you don't believe it, read the rest of this chapter. I'm going to read a few more verses, but I'm not going into that. But they will call up spirits. They will call up spirits, even spirits in you. I don't understand all I know about witchcraft and the occult, the things that I've learned in the 20 years I've been in it, I think it's 20. But the Lord continues to open it up to let us see what we're fighting. And here he said that Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. And I was going in my Amplified this morning when it said, "Suffer a witch not to live." It said, "Suffer a woman that's a witch not to live." And I thought, I know some men that are witches. Right. I mean, I don't know them personally, but I know about them, okay? They were in this coven with these three witches that came to our church. And we saw them. They cursed our church. They paraded around our church and loosed everything they could think of on us. And then sent the women in. And man, we literally threw one of them out bodily. And then we had to break curses that she loosed upon us. And verse 5 says, "And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid." I skipped the fourth verse. "And his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that has a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there's a woman that has a familiar spirit at Endor." Saul was wanting knowledge. And God had just said, and Saul had himself, when he was operating as king, had put away all of the people that were in the witches and the things that God had told him to destroy, he destroyed. But here he was wanting knowledge, and Samuel was dead. He couldn't go to the prophet, and so he was not hearing from God. And you know, sometimes I think people that do go to the occult are so hungry for knowledge, they just, the supernatural, they go the wrong way. But they're still hungry for God, but they're just going at it the wrong way. Okay, but I wanted to show you this, and over in First Chronicles, it tells us that that's one of the reasons that Saul died. First Chronicles chapter 10, praise the Lord. And I'm in 2 Chronicles, that figures. Praise the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 10 and verse 13 says, "So Saul died for his transgressions, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it." Saul didn't obey the Lord. You know, God told him to destroy all the animals, and when he sent him out. I'm going to get onto that scripture in a little bit when I want to show you that we are rebelling against, a lot of times, against things that we know in the Word. And when we are rebelling like that, it's witchcraft. We don't believe we're in witchcraft. We say, "Well, I've never been in witchcraft in my life." When we rebel against the authority of the Word, I have women that come at me when I go get on the earrings, which I may do in a little bit, and the eating of the wrong kind of meats, and say, "Well, I, you know, everything's under the blood." And what it is, it's a spirit of rebellion against what the Word of God says. My job is to say it. It's not my job to make you believe it. The Holy Spirit has to do that. And so until this morning, I guess I had never really thought about when we come against the Word and say, "Well, I don't care what it says. I'm going to do what I want to, or I'm going to do it this way." Well, we're really in witchcraft, because we're rebellion. As 1 Samuel 28 says, 1 Samuel 15, verse 23 says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." And so when we rebel against the Word, we get into witchcraft. So anyways, we wouldn't maybe go out and tell fortunes or do all that, but when we just won't hear the Word, God says the believer's going to cast out demons. And say, "Well, now," I had someone tell me just recently, "Well, there are just special people called to do that." And I said, "My Bible don't read that way. It says the believer will cast out demons." And they were giving me a hard time, so I just opened the book and I said, "I didn't say it, and I'm not saying this. The Word says this." But when we get into, we disobey God, and so many times we're wanting to walk into the kingdom of God and the power of God and the authority, and I fully believe that we are coming to a time when God is going to, as we obey Him, as we submit to Him, as we lay aside the cares of this world and overcome those things, that we are going to see the power of God work in us like we have never seen it before. I believe that there are people that will give up everything to obey God, no matter what the cost. And when they do that and walk and obey God's word, that we're going to see things happen. God's going to show us how to. We're going to see people delivered just by laying your hands on them. We're going to see people healed just by walking by them. You're going to see people with their legs gone. They're going to grow out because God is raising up an army of people that will believe and that's going to walk in that kingdom, authority, and power. And that is what I believe. And I believe that it's going to cost you and me everything we have, and we're going to obey God because we desire the things of God more than the things of this world. And I praise God. I believe this since the first day I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when I began to see that all the promises in God's word were yea and amen. I was saying, "God, there's a way to have that, and I'm going to have it if there's any way to have it on this earth. I don't need it when I go to be with God. When I go to heaven, if I go to heaven before Jesus comes, then I don't need it there. He's already, everything's okay there, but it's here. It's a here and now that we need this power, and God wants to give it to us. But it costs us being obedient. You cannot walk and please man. You cannot do it and please God. And I'll say this, you can't walk down two paths at one time." And I didn't mean to preach, but I'm told. But if you try to walk down two paths, what do? You're divided, and a double-minded man will receive nothing from the Lord. And my whole
cry and heart is in, people give it up and obey God. Yes. Obey God. God said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed out begging for bread. You think, well, if I do this, I'll lose that. But let me tell you, the word says that we're to do deliverance, we're to minister to people, and it says not for money.
Amen.
Not for money. And God will reward you. I don't want a reward from man. I want mine from my Father. And I want to see him magnified. I want to see the... I want to be like Paul. Now, maybe you said, well, this is pride. Pride. I got no pride left. I've been through hell and back this past year. And it's been real hard to be here. I promise you. I spent the morning crying all morning. Y'all, I'm not feeling sorry for myself, but it's pain in my heart. But... I believe that God will allow us to walk if we'll obey him, that you can be in the store and the glory of God will be so bright on you that it'll draw people to where you are and say, we want to see what that is. And then you can lead them to Jesus Christ. I believe that with all my heart. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be up here doing this. Because I know God wants it. He wants us to believe, as Mueller was preaching at us this morning, with faith. As I said yesterday, because of fear, we have not walked in this. And we're going to have to be obedient to God. And if he tells you, go pray for somebody, lay hands on them, you go do it. And when you walk away, the devil say nothing happened. You don't know what happened. You just obey God. And you'll be blessed. And God could heal somebody or whatever God told you to lay hands on them for. And you may never know what happened. But you get blessed by being obedient. And when you'll be obedient to God for that, he'll tell you something else and give you something else. You know, Lord, we're getting well. But anyways, this morning that scripture that Tommy used over in John. John's my favorite book of this Bible. Anyways, we saw that the Holy Ghost, Jesus said the Holy Ghost would come and the Comforter would come. He also said he'd teach us all truth and he would show us things to come. I want you to know he's been showing me things to come. I haven't liked what he showed me, but he did show it to me, and he told it to me months in advance. But he promises us he will do this. And if we'll believe him and seek him, he'll do it. And God's word doesn't lie. It may not be true in us, but it's true. It's the only truth we have is his word. Okay, going on. Saul died for his transgressions. He died for getting involved in the occult, going to a witch, seeking knowledge, and instead of waiting upon God. You know, we get in a hurry sometimes and we get ahead of God. But we need to seek the Lord. When you ask him something, wait for him to answer. A lot of times we don't shut up long enough for him to tell us. We're too busy talking to him. And I've been there and done that. And I tell you, it's not any fun. Let's go back over to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Let's look at some of the things that God lists as an abomination. You know, if I had been really up to par this time, I would have liked to have come and preached against Christmas. I would have made a lot of friends, wouldn't I? Over in Jeremiah, it tells us about not to learn the way of the heathen. And we don't know the day that Christ was born. And the world has turned Santa Claus into God. And the tree is heathenistic because the word says, don't bring a tree into your house and deck it with silver and make it stationary and worship it. You start, people say, well, I'm not worshiping. You know, I had a son that didn't speak to me for 7. You think it can cost me to say some things I say? My son didn't speak to me for 7 years because of Christmas. My youngest son, he loved Christmas and he loved the tree and he loved all the trappings. And when I began to learn that it was an abomination to God because it's idol worship, it's heathenistic. And, you know, people put these wreaths on their door, and the wreath represents death. and the lights, you know, they're going to do all this, the false lights and all this. And but my son didn't speak to me for 7 years of it, but the word tells us not to run the way of the heathens. And here in Deuteronomy, we have the same thing, literally, it's about the cult, the occult. But it says in Deuteronomy 18, verse 9, it says, when thou comest into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. See, same thing. We're not to do like the world's doing. We're to do what God tells us to do, what His Word tells us to do. And He said, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination or observer of time, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God does drive them out from before thee. Now, God went before them and drove those people out of the land. People, we're real close to being driven out of the land because of the abominations that we have brought in to and mingled it and called it Christianity. And God hates it. He hates it. Some of the things that ministers are accepting and bringing into the church of the house of the Lord. Of course, I know we're the church, we're the house of the Lord. But when we gather together and we come together as a body, they're coming into the body. They're bringing these things into the body of Christ. They're compromising the Word of God to have a lot of people and have money in the church. And I'm telling you, we are real close to the Lord bringing judgment upon us, and only God knows when it's coming, but it will come because He's going to judge us because we have not stood up for what we know the Word says the way God wants us to. Yes, you'll lose your friends. I lost every friend I had when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I thought that was terrible. I mean, they ran from me then, but when I got in deliverance, I lost the spirit-filled people. They left me. And I was just standing there all alone. You know, Jim and I were just right there alone. And our friends were... But... And my kids have done the same thing, but the Lord promised to bring my family back, and He has, and I praise God for it. And our friends came back, have come back. Some of them have. Some of them still far away. But the thing is, when God shows you this and you begin to stand and walk in it, if you look at the life of Jesus, who we're to follow, not people, but he was our example. Everything, His walk was the walk He wants us to walk. Well, He either caused a revival or a warfare when he spoke. Because he ended up, they tried to stone him, and then they did take him and put him on the cross, which was God's plan. But I'm telling you that you're going to be persecuted if you stand for what the Word says. But if you want to go the way that the world is going, then God will let you go. God won't make you, he gave us a free will. But He said here that we're not to learn to do after these things. And I have a listing on all those, but I'm not going to go through them, of what each one is. And really, they all boil down to the witchcraft and Satanism, and witches will tell you that Satan is not involved in witchcraft, but it's a lie of the devil, because it is Satanism. And the witches are the daughters of light that have high authority in Satanism. So how do you know that? Same witches that I got involved with, and we're still paying for that. Your discernment would be a lot better than mine was at that time. I knew what she was. I knew where she came from. But I was deceived in the area that we thought she wanted to be delivered from it. Yeah. And we tried to help her. And instead of helping her, she brought two more in. But you learn a lot. And the thing that when they come in, they will guard what they say to you. But they'll give you just enough and say just enough to make you think they're really sincere. So we really need to be open to what the Word says. Go over to Galatians 5 and let's read Galatians. You know, all of this witchcraft and the occult is flesh. It's done in the flesh. It's but it's also a spirit. Where does the enemy attack you most? It's in your flesh.
physically attacks you in your flesh, and mentally he'll attack you in your mind, in your soulish area. But in Galatians in chapter 5 and verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, of which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. And I find this is what a lot of people try to tell me when they, when you go to talking to them about witchcraft. Say, well, the word says it's just the flesh. It's, and I said, yes, it does, but go back over to where the root of this is and see where it's coming from. Go back over to what God has said about all of this. And it's manifesting that today we're seeing it manifest in our kids that are killing kids, that are killing their parents, and all of these things, that because the churches have not done anything about it, they have not taught that the sins of the fathers, and by the way, I think that's what Dr. Noel's going to teach on this afternoon, the sins of the fathers are visited on the children to the third and fourth generation. And if the church had taught us this, our kids, we wouldn't be in the condition we're in today. And we're to blame also because we had the Bible and we didn't read it. We took what somebody else said about it. And I tell my church, and I'll tell you this, and I always tell when I'm teaching, you should have a pencil and a piece of paper and write it down and then go home and check it out and see if this be true or not. Don't take my word or anyone else's word about it. Pray, ask God to show you. He's no respecter of persons, and he'll reveal it to you just like he does to me or anyone else. He said, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, and murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like of the things which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If we are involved in this, or if we've been involved within it, and do not ask for, renounce it and ask forgiveness for it. Well, I used a scripture yesterday. I'll read it to you again. In the Revelation 21, verse 8, it says, but the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, the murderer, the whoremonger, the sorcerer, and the idolater, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I'm going to say this. I'm not against the homosexual. I am against what they do.
Yeah.
God did not make them that way. I don't care what they say. I don't care what science says. They were not born that way. The people that have been in homosexuality or are involved in it were either molested as a child, or it's been handed down through the sins of the forefathers. Either way, and this is why I always think when we go after doing deliverance, if we go after a lesbian spirit, a homosexual spirit, everybody needs to get deliverance from it, because I'm by it just like I am by incest. And the curse of the bastard, it's on everybody's family. I don't care who you are.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.